Smile and Hide the Longing for a Place to Call Home, by AU of Golden Fantasies, read by Co-Prime. Rating, teen and up. Archive warning, no archive warnings apply. Fandom, Daredevil TV. Relationship, Foggy Nelson and Karen Page, as well as Matt Murdock and Foggy Nelson and Karen Page. Additional tags, point of view Karen Page, implied and or referenced alcohol abuse and alcoholism, grief and mourning, loneliness, self-worth issues, angst, hurt comfort, Nelson family Christmas, and good friend Foggy Nelson. Summary. Christmas reminds Karen of the past she tries to flee. She spends Christmas alone and miserable until Foggy finds out she had no home to go back to. For Karen, the first months working at Nelson and Murdock went by fast. There was always something to do and learn and investigate. And when the quiet moments arrived, and her turbulent arrival to the firm and her past before that threatened to make her mind run wild, Foggy was there to lighten up the mood. She was starting to smile again, genuinely. But then Christmas came. It was snowing outside. Foggy was humming Christmas songs as he worked, and there was a small raggedy plastic Christmas tree in the corner of the office that apparently was a relic from Matt and Foggy's college dorm days. It reminded Karen of home, or rather, of a home long gone. Christmases of her childhood, when everything still was easy and everybody was happy. It reminded her of a time where everybody was alive. Vermont always looked so beautiful this time of year. Mom had loved when everything turned white. Her heart clenched when she thought about home. She missed it, or rather, what it had been before everything. She didn't know what she would do this Christmas. It would be her second one since Kevin died. She had tried to go home for Christmas last year, but had been met by a cold shoulder by her dad. She'd rather not repeat that, but what were her options? "You know what?" Foggy said, and walked out of his office as he stretched his arms, interrupting Karen's thoughts. "What about we take Christmas break now? I'm not getting any further on this case anyway. What do you think, Matt?" Foggy leaned on the open doorway to Matt's office. "I can keep going," Matt answered. "Come on, buddy. It's Christmas Eve, and we're our own bosses. We can decide to start the break a few hours early. The case isn't solving itself." Foggy groaned theatrically, and Karen found herself smiling at their friendly banter. "Think about Karen, Matt," Foggy argued. "She's looking forward to go home and celebrate Christmas, and we're holding her here. That right, Karen?" Karen's smile grew stale. "Uh-huh." Karen couldn't get herself to correct the assumption. Everybody loved Christmas. She felt guilty about not wanting to go home and not looking forward to Christmas. "Well, Karen can go home if she wants," Matt said. Foggy sighed. "You need to rest too. Don't make me call Mom and tell her we're going to be late to Christmas Eve dinner because you can't stop working." "It's hours before dinner," Matt answered. "I'm done before that." "Well, maybe I want to hang out with you before we go there." "And you would seriously call your mom to get that?" Karen wondered how well Foggy's mom knew Matt if she had that influence over him. Now when she thought about it, Matt wasn't talking that much about his own family. Not at all, really. She was glad he seemed to have Foggy, though. "If it works, it works," Foggy shrugged. Matt sighed. "Okay, we can start Christmas break now. You've interrupted my flow, anyways." Karen looked back at her screen. "That's true for me, too." She saved her work, crossed off one thing on her to-do list, and wrote two new things she'd realized she'd need to research on the list for when they came back to work after Christmas, and closed her computer. "Yes," Foggy said, and pumped his fist in the air. "Mission accomplished." They packed up and put on their coats. "Merry Christmas, Karen. Hope you get some time to relax with your family, Foggy said. Merry Christmas, she said, doing her best to ignore that part about her family. See you next year, unless you're in town for New Year's and want to meet up. Your family lives in Vermont, yeah? Yeah, Vermont. Not a lie, but she knew Foggy assumed she was going there. She wasn't. It wouldn't feel like Christmas if she went, anyway. Not when her dad didn't want her there. She plastered on a smile. No need to destroy their mood with her complicated past. Matt and Foggy left together, leaving her standing in the office. She didn't want to leave. No way was she going to Vermont. But what would she do instead? Stay in New York all alone? Was that any better than the rejection of trying to go home and relive all the painful memories from her past? She tidied her desk one last time, looked around, and realized there was nothing else to distract herself with. She had to go home now. She went by the store and bought a bottle of wine. The cashier commented that her choice was great for her assumed family dinner. Karen doubted it. She had bought the cheapest one she could find. She spent her evening zapping between channels on the TV, trying to find a program that wasn't all about happy families celebrating happy Christmases, while she drank the whole bottle by herself. She just wanted not to have to think about the crash or grief or how unwanted she felt, that she no longer had a home to return to. After Kevin's death, when her dad had told her to leave, she hadn't known where to go. She had moved from town to town, doing odd jobs, trying to start a new life over and over again. Nothing had worked out. Nothing had felt right. She was fleeing, trying to forget and move on, trying to find something. She didn't know how long she would stay in New York or where she would head next. Matt and Foggy were nice, though. She was grateful for them offering her a job at their firm, but it was just work. She had had nice colleagues before, but at the end of the day, she always ended up alone, with nobody to talk to about all her hopes and dreams and fears, nobody to share her struggles with, nobody that cared about her. And why would they? She only brought disaster, like she had to Kevin, like she had to Daniel Fisher. It was only a matter of time before she would mess things up for Matt and Foggy, too. On Christmas Day, she contemplated not getting out of bed. What was the point? She had no Christmas party to attend, nobody that waited for her. She had nothing to do. She didn't even have any presents to open. She pulled her duvet over her head and groaned as her mood got even worse. She didn't have any presents. What a silly thing to be sulking about. She didn't need a bunch of stuff, but that wasn't why. It was what they represented. That someone thought about her and cared about her. She didn't have any of that now. People could smile and greet her and wish her happy Christmas, and she smiled back happily every time, but she didn't mean anything to anybody anymore. She wasn't important. Her head throbbed from yesterday's wine, and she barely managed to convince herself to get out of bed and find something to eat. She curled up in the couch in front of the TV and nibbled on her snacks. There was a movie on the TV that came every Christmas that she used to watch with her family as a kid. It hurt so much to watch it, but she couldn't stop. She closed her eyes, trying to find the comfort the movie had given her once upon a time, listening to the familiar music and pretending she was home again, that everything was fine, that everyone was alive. She missed Kevin. She missed Mom. She missed the time where her dad still wanted her. She missed her childhood Christmases when things were simpler and everybody was happy. She missed Mom's hugs and her homemade food. She missed how Kevin always had tried to push her towards betterment. How he had wanted her to have a good and happy life for her own sake. They had cared about her, despite all the mistakes she made. That Kevin never gave up on her. No matter what had happened, no matter what a bother she was to him, he had never stopped caring about her. He had been the best brother she could ever have, and it was her fault he was gone. The walls were thin in her apartment complex. She heard her neighbors laugh and celebrate together. Someone shouted, "I love you," in the staircase. Tears clouded her vision, and she put a hand in front of her mouth to quiet the sobs. They shouldn't need to hear her. No point destroying someone else's joy with her misery. She was alone, and it was scary to not have anywhere to turn to. She was just trying to survive, but if something happened, she was on her own, and nobody would care if she lived or died. Her phone rang. She almost screamed in surprise. It was Foggy calling her on FaceTime. Why on earth would her boss call her on Christmas Day? He was supposed to be busy with his own family. She hastily tried to wipe away her tears and slow down her shaky breaths before she answered. She put on a smile and pressed the button. "Merry Christmas, Karen," Foggy greeted her with a big smile. "Say hi to Karen, Matt." He angled his phone to show Matt sitting on the floor building Legos with a kid. "Merry Christmas, Karen," Matt said. Both Foggy and Matt were wearing Christmas sweaters. Karen hadn't seen them in anything other than business attire. They looked so soft without the hard angles of the suit. She stammered a Merry Christmas in return. "How are you, Karen?" Foggy asked. "Good," she lied. In the background, Karen heard children's laughter and clattering from the kitchen. "So you two are spending the Christmas together?" "Matt always spends Christmas with us," Foggy said cheerily. "You look tired, Karen. Was it a lot of traffic when you drove to Vermont?" Her throat constricted. She wanted to lie and agree with Foggy, but she couldn't get herself to. Foggy's brow furrowed. "You are in Vermont, right?" Karen bit her lip and her smile faltered. She shook her head and looked away. She was so tired. She couldn't make herself pretend anymore. "Why not?" Foggy sounded genuine, like he actually wanted to know, rather than asking her only to be polite. "I don't have anything to go back to," Karen said as the tears broke through. She had never admitted that fully to herself before, and her heart hurt so much with the realization. She had nothing to go back to. She had no home. "Karen, I'm so sorry I didn't know. You're all on your own?" She nodded through her tears. She was all alone. She had nowhere where she belonged. "You're in your apartment?" She nodded again, even though she didn't know why that mattered to Foggy. "Theo," Foggy shouted, turning his head to the side. Karen could hear Foggy's brother answer, "What?" But the answer came faint and muffled through the phone. "Can I borrow your car?" "What for?" "I need to fetch Karen." "What? Why would he do that?" "Who's Karen?" Theo wondered. He was coming closer, judging by the increase in volume. "She's our office manager." "So what?" "She's alone. On Christmas Day," Foggy said passionately. "Nobody should be alone on Christmas Day. Not on my watch." Foggy turned back to look at Karen and smiled at her. She looked at him in confusion. "Oh, yeah, go for it. The keys are in my jacket in the hallway," Theo said. "Thanks, Theo. I'm coming to get you, Karen. See you in a bit." Foggy ended the call and Karen was left sitting, looking at her phone. He was so kind to her. Both him and Matt were. She was so shocked she didn't know what to feel. Somehow she gathered herself enough that she threw on some proper clothes and a bit of makeup before Foggy called again to tell her he was outside. She looked a bit more alive now and less of the mess she felt like on the inside. "Merry Christmas, Karen," he greeted her again when she hopped into the passenger seat of the Nelson's meat truck that Foggy was driving. "Merry Christmas," she said softly. She didn't feel that merry, but she tried to smile at Foggy nonetheless. They drove in silence for a while. "Sorry that I assumed you went to Vermont," Foggy said. "Don't feel sorry. I didn't even try to correct you." "Well, yeah, but I should have figured it out. You're just like Matt." "I am not. Matt was a far better person than her." Yeah, you are. The first Christmas in college, I did the same mistake with Matt, assuming he had family to spend his Christmas with, and left him all alone over the holidays. He didn't say anything, just smiled. I felt so bad when I found out, but it was way past the holidays, so I couldn't do anything about it. I'm not repeating the same mistake with you. Matt doesn't have any family to spend Christmas with? Like her? Could Matt, that was so kind and hardworking, really be a little bit like her? She that people only cared for as long as she was of use to them? And when her ill fortune inevitably spilled over on them, she wasn't worth the hassle anymore? Yeah, no. Matt's probably going to be annoyed with me for telling you this because he doesn't like talking about himself. But his dad died when he was still a kid, making him an orphan. Karen hadn't known that. But I'm not Matt. I do have family back home, she said. But calling it home felt like playing a string out of tune. All those happy memories and the safety of childhood tainted with the car crash and death and people that didn't want to see her. Of all the years after her mother's death, where she had been trying to hold the family together but getting nothing in return. But it's complicated, and it's my fault. It was all her fault. Without her, Kevin would still be alive. Without her, they would have been happy. I don't care about that. You're spending Christmas alone, and that's not okay. That's what I care about. You're doing this to feel better about yourself, Karen accused of him. To redeem the guilt you felt about leaving Matt alone or something. She promptly stared out of the window and didn't look at him. I'm just some charity case to you. Like they had helped her after the Union Allied incident just because they needed clients, not because they cared about what happened to her. That's some big bullshit right there, Foggy said forcefully. I want you to come spend Christmas with me because you're my friend. What? Karen looked at him in confusion. You're my friend. Of course I want to spend time with you. But Christmas is a family holiday. Who cares? Friends? Family? They're both people that I care about. He gesticulated with one hand to emphasize his points while using the other hand to drive. And just to make you understand the seriousness, because you look confused, hereby I vow to never, ever let you spend a Christmas alone ever again, and that the Nelson family home will always be open to you. It didn't make sense, but the way Foggy said it didn't leave any room to question it. You care? About me? This was precisely what she wanted, but it was stupid of Foggy to do so. She had nothing to give back. It would not be worth it. Of course I do. Me and Matt both. Matt actually picked up that you maybe weren't okay after we said goodbye yesterday and was worried about you. I disregarded him, and I'm sorry about that. They both care? And we're here, Foggy said chirpily, and parked the car. Oh yeah, and we're a big family, so be warned. I know the rowdiness isn't what most people are used to, but they are all very nice. She hadn't even thought about being nervous, but now she was. There was the rest of the Nelsons too, not just Matt and Foggy. What would they say? Foggy walked to the door and Karen followed after. He seemed relaxed, and that reassured her a little. I'm home, he said, as he kicked off his shoes in the hallway, crammed full with more clothes than it was made for. A chorus of hellos came from the rest of the house. Karen struggled to find a place to put her coat and shoes that wouldn't be in the way when all the hangers were taken. Karen! Matt had arrived in the hallway. I'm glad you're here. He smiled, his face like sunshine, and Karen couldn't understand how he could seem so happy. For her? It made her heart ache, but in a good way. It made her feel warm. Merry Christmas, Matt, she said. Thank you, was what she meant. Merry Christmas, Karen. She met the rest of the Nelsons, and they all smiled happily to meet her. Karen felt overwhelmed by all the greetings. They were too happy, too welcoming. It was like eating too many sweets. It made her feel sick. It was nice to be invited, but didn't take away all the blood on her hands. Didn't take away what a failure she was. She excused herself from the table she'd been invited to sit at and went to the bathroom. She sat down on the toilet lid with her head in her hands. Sitting at that table, smiles all around, was like the first Christmas after Mom died, when they had tried to pretend everything was as usual, but everything was wrong. She couldn't do this. There was a knock on the door. She yelped in surprise. "You're okay in there, dear?" Mrs. Nelson asked. "Yeah, I'm fine." She tidied herself up and exited the bathroom. "I just needed a little breather." Mrs. Nelson looked at her with knowing eyes. "It's okay," she said. "I know this is a new situation to you, and I can see that something's troubling you, but I hope we can help you have a good time nonetheless." "Thank you. I'm grateful for you all inviting me. I'm sorry I'm such a downer."
"No, no, don't apologize."
"But I don't belong here." Karen looked away. "Come here," Mrs. Nelson said, and spread out her arms. Before Karen could protest, she was getting a hug. She hesitantly put her arms around Mrs. Nelson. "You belong here. Of course you do. You'll always be welcome here." Karen hadn't gotten a hug like this in years, so steady and so warm. She hadn't gotten a hug like this since before Mom got sick. She felt safe. Karen started sobbing. "Baby, it's okay." Mrs. Nelson stroked her back. "It's okay. I got you. I'm here. We're all here with you." She sobbed even harder. She had a place where she belonged. She didn't have to flee anymore. The end. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this work, please consider leaving a comment on the original work for the author.